did seem to be a continuation of government. And the quote that I like from Sibley here is, he says, well, if that's not the case, if we don't have any government, have our judicial and ministerial officers, which presumably exist, have our officers rendered themselves liable to future punishment or usurpation of power? If some malefactor is apprehended or a debtor arrested, the officers serving the writ will be visited hereafter as an action for false imprisonment. So there were officers functioning there. They were exercising governmental and judicial power. So I think it's safe to say that government of some kind continued to exist there. Well, the context in which that speech was given is quite interesting, because when this supposed lapse took place, when the governance of the area west of the St. Croix River was kind of called into question, when that happened, the settlers here, which were fairly numerous, and at the time the three main settlers were at Mendota, which was at the time called St. Peter's, but Mendota were Sibley lived. And incidentally, if you ever get a chance, it's an interesting historical site down there, the Henry Sibley Historic Site in Mendota. If you get a chance to go down there and see how the fur trade works and his house, it's just kind of an interesting but anyway, the three main settlements, there was a fairly substantial population, both Mendota, St. Paul, and Stillwater. Those were the three biggest parts in this, in what's sometimes called the Rump Wisconsin Territory, this territory that's left over after Wisconsin was admitted to the Union. There was a large settlement there, and they realized the problem that there was, status of their government and their laws was in question. So they began some organization and began some lobbying to try to rectify that and to see to the creation of a new territory. And the I believe Wisconsin was admitted in May 29, 1848. It probably took, just by the way communications was back then, I'm guessing it was probably June or July before word made it back here that Wisconsin had been admitted to the Union. So probably May or probably June or July, that word got back here. Some preliminary meeting was held in Stillwater to try to get things going, and they called for a convention, which is, if you read about Minnesota history, it's referred to, if you look in the index, it's usually just referred to as the Stillwater Convention. And that convention, as they call it, took place on August 26th of that year, August 26, 1848. And it did not purport to be, an official constitutional convention or anything. It was just a large public meeting where a lot of persons came. They were not elected delegates or anything. It was just a public meeting. And at that meeting, they prepared a memorial which was sent to the president and to Congress petitioning for organization of the Minnesota Territory. And interestingly, they referred to the country where they lived as the Minnesota Territory at that time. So that's kind of where the name came from for the subsequent state. I suspect if that meeting would have called it something else, then that would be the name of the state today, but they chose the name Minnesota. So they submitted that to Congress. They sent a letter to their congressman, even though they didn't have a congressman, which is the problem, asking for organization of the territory. And they also elected a delegate, who they called a delegate, who they viewed as an unofficial representative, to go to Washington and to make their case and to lobby for territoryhood, if that's a word. And that delegate that they elected was Henry Hastings Sibley, who was the fur trader of the American Fur Company in Mendota. Well, sometime after that, so again, that meeting was just an unofficial, even though it was called a convention, it didn't have any legal standing. But after, at some time after that meeting, someone came up with the idea, and nobody's quite sure whose idea it was. One of the leading historians of Minnesota is Theodore Christian Lagan. So if you ever went to the U of M and sat in Lagan Hall, that's who it was named after. He just says, he calls this person an ingenious soul, came up with this idea. And what this idea was, well, yes, Wisconsin was admitted as a state, but the territory was never, the Organic Act creating Wisconsin territory was not explicitly overruled. So therefore, the argument was that the territorial organization continued to exist, and one of the attributes of the territorial organization was that they were entitled to a delegate in Congress. Just an aside, the territories, even today, territories are entitled to a delegate in Congress, in the House of Representatives. It's a non-voting member, but other than voting, he has all the rights of any other member of Congress. So currently today, for example, Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, they have one member of Congress who is not their representative, but he is a delegate. Wisconsin territory had a delegate in Congress. So the reasoning was that since the act organizing the territory had never been repealed, that the residents of Wisconsin territory were still entitled to that delegate, notwithstanding the fact that the state of Wisconsin, which just happened to have the same name, also had its own representation. So somebody put forth this idea, and again, nobody knows exactly who it was, but somebody prevailed upon a man named John Cade to come to Stillwater and set up residence at Stillwater. And Caitlin was the secretary of Wisconsin Territory. In a territorial organization, there were five offices that were appointed by the president. So the five actual federal officials or territorial officials. And those were the territorial governor, the territorial secretary, who was kind of like the lieutenant governor, and the three judges of the territorial Supreme Court. So those were the five officials. Caitlin was the secretary, who was kind of the lieutenant governor. In fact, one of his duties was specifically that he became the acting governor if the office of government, or the office of governor, became vacant. In that case, Henry Dodge had been the governor of Wisconsin Territory, but after statehood, he had been elected to the United States Senate. So the reasoning was that Dodge had, that the office of governor had lapsed because Dodge had moved on to another office. Therefore, Caitlin assumed the title of acting governor, and he came to Stillwater, and he called for an election to be held for the territorial delegate from Wisconsin Territory. And he set the date for that election as October 30th. One thing interesting, the Board of Supervisors of St. Croix County actually conducted the election, and they specified the rules of the election and everything. So the county board of the territorial county did continue to function in that intervening time. And in fact, the results of this election are in the archives, I think they're at the Wisconsin Historical Society, but in Madison. But they're bound in with the rest of the archives of the territorial government. So this territorial county board of supervisors apparently continued to act without much of a lapse after Wisconsin statehood. So anyway, this election was called for October 30th, and it was held on that date. I believe there were three precincts where voting took place. At Stillwater, I think Stillwater, Minnesota, or maybe St. Paul, and then another one a little bit further than that. And at this election, kind of